Praise be to Jesus Christ, who has passed from death to life, who has conquered death and given us the victory, that now we will live, even though he die, and whoever lives and believes in him will never die. Amen. What a difference a day can make. We see a few huge days in the life of these dear women who came to Jesus' tomb. I wonder, though, what that special Sabbath was like for Jesus' followers. That Sabbath between Good Friday and that first day of the week that we call Easter Sunday. What was that Sabbath like? All Jews were to be in the temple, celebrating and rejoicing how God's right arm had taken them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land. I wonder what that special Sabbath celebration was like for Peter, James, and John, or Martha, or Mary Magdalene, or the other Mary, or all the other women and men who followed Jesus. Was that a particularly painful Sabbath? I wonder if they had to walk past Pilate's steps where Jesus was condemned to death. As they were mingling in the temple, did they see the faces of those who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Were they even possibly afraid that they might be picked up off the streets and arrested in the wake of Jesus' death? What went through their hearts and minds? I wonder if the Pharisees were strutting with peculiar pride that Sabbath. Oh, they had done away with Jesus. And in such a spectacularly awful way that no one will speak his name ever again. And then, of course, there's always those idle spectators watching the drama unfold. Were they wondering who would be snatched up next in the dragnet? Or were they ready to move on with life? The excitement is over. Let's go home. The miracle worker is dead. I imagine waves of grief poured over Jesus' followers. The voice in their head changing from, "This can't be true," to, "The Messiah is dead." To us humans, death seems so permanent, so destructive. Death seems to take away everything from a person. Death reaches out its cold hands and takes everything they were and everything they would be, and it throws them before the condemning bench of God for people to stand naked with all their sins hanging on them. That's the threat of death. It is so horrendously awful because the power of death is sin. Our lives don't speak words of our glory. Our lives speak words of our wretchedness. And death is ever poised at the door, just ready to grab us and throw us into the hole before God's anger. That's why we want to avoid death at all costs. And now, Jesus is dead. All is lost. And oh, how the believers were in such despair. Such despair for only one reason. They didn't listen to their Lord. His words weren't in their ears and in their hearts. And so Satan was poised there to try and rip whatever faith he could from their hearts. Instead of rolling Jesus' words over and over in their head and in their heart during these dark, miserable days, no, Satan was right there and said, "Look, death has even gotten your Messiah. What's all this good stuff he was that he boasted about? What does it matter? He's dead now." Satan was right there to taunt them and tempt them. did you hope this Jesus fellow would really do for you? Huh, what does it matter? He's dead now. Death seems so pertinent. The disciples were filled with despair, defeat. They were in hiding. They didn't even go out to the tomb that next morning. The women went out though. They prepared their spices and perfumes and they were going to go there to anoint Jesus' body. What? Sit at the entrance and watch like awake and weep and cry and mourn all that they had lost. They too were defeated believers for only one reason. They failed to listen to what Jesus had said. But again, God's grace in all of its glory, it's to these very defeated, weeping, forgetful believers that God sends out his holy angel. Oh, what a difference a day can make. That angel comes down and breaks Caesar's seal on that tomb. Ah! He rolls away the stone from the front of the tomb so that all may inspect it. And he fills the great Roman soldiers with such fear they drop down and faint as though dead before the sight of God's holy angels. Do you catch that irony there? The agents of Caesar, who are supposed to be so deadly to people, they're the ones falling down as though dead, right when the one who they crucified is back to life. Who truly rules heaven and earth? It isn't the Caesars of this world, but it is our Lord God Almighty. And notice what this angel does. He sits on the stone. I envision in my mind a conquering pose. Look at what this wicked world has done to the Lord of glory, and yet God has conquered. God has risen. He raised his son to life. And then the angel gives them precious words, words that change their lives and change our lives, words that have called us here this morning. He has risen. Just as he said. And in those words, we have life everlasting. The angels come with that first Easter message, that proclamation of gospel, to the defeated believers who instantly turn into victorious believers, just like you and me. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. The women saw the empty tomb, the grave clothes. How can this be? With our own eyes, we had seen his limp, lifeless body hanging from the spikes. We had seen that cold tomb gulp him in and close him in. And now we come back and he's not there. The grave clothes, but no body. What miracle is this? Find it interesting how Matthew records they were afraid, yet filled with joy. Can you imagine? What do we make of this? And so they ran back to tell the others. Mary Magdalene stayed behind. Jesus would appear to her separately. But here the others are making their way to the disciples, and who should they meet but Jesus himself? And basically he appears to them and says, hi. How simple for such a magnificent morning. He just says, greetings. And they instantly know who he is. And that instantly changes everything. Oh, they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. Death had not robbed Jesus of all that he was and all that he would be. No, Jesus gave a death blow to death. He took the very death out of death because he removed sin. Death's cold hand no longer threatens us, for Christ has given us life everlasting that this world nor the grave can ever take away from us. How wonderful these women are. They don't only just celebrate because a dear beloved friend is now living again. No, notice how Matthew spells out they worshiped him. We had hoped you were the Messiah and you proved it. We had confidence that you were the Savior of the world and you have saved us. You have come and fulfilled all your promises. Yes, now we remember you did say in 3 days you would rise again, and here you are and we're holding on to you. We can touch you with our very own hands. All is as you have promised. And so we are not condemned. We are forgiven for our faithless hearts, for our doubts, for our lifetime of sins that death threatened to punish us for. You have washed us clean in your own blood. You sacrificed to set us free that now we may stand before God in holiness. Oh, that Easter victory that Christ has given us. I wonder if the Pharisees heard that Jesus was alive. How could they not, since the soldiers ran to them? I wonder if they sent out spies in the garden to look from the trees to see if they could see the angel at the tomb. I find it interesting that the Pharisees didn't launch a house-to-house search for Jesus' body. They didn't even go to Pilate to try and accuse the disciples of breaking his seal. No, somewhere deep down inside of them, they knew the truth, but they weren't going to admit it. No, they were going to hold on to their lies, to their false. They were not going to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so, foremost on their mind was, how can we just simply bribe the soldiers to lie for us? What a pitiful, wicked end to these Pharisees and the priests as they would spend eternity in hell for having crucified the Lord of glory. And then again, there's always those spectators. The spectators, oh, how Jerusalem was abuzz with the news. But so few people believing the news. It's good to yammer about miracles that we can't explain, but at the end of the day, they too went home untouched, unchanged, unforgiven to their busy little lives and sat under the heavy hand of God's condemnation. But what about us? Today's believers, these 2,000 years later, what does this mean for you and me? What do we get out of it? Satan would love to rob us of that Easter victory, to work in our heart and mind, to cause so much doubt. Can it really be? It sounds so fantastic. Well, it's stuff stories are made out of. Satan works so hard that when tragedy hits, we may act like the women just sitting outside Jesus' tomb, weeping and mourning, oh, hopeless and helpless, as though our God doesn't live, as though he's dead. He's very much alive. Or Satan tries to tempt us to act as though the disciples, locked away for fear of all of our enemies that are on every hand and no one's there to help us. Really? That's not what our Lord has promised. Or Satan tries to get us simply just to be idle spectators. Another Easter, that's a good story, along with the chocolate eggs. But we'll soon return home and everything will go back to normal and tempts us to be untouched, unmoved, unchanged. But no, this Easter, we pray, Lord, speak your words in the depths of our being, into the fabric of who we are. Oh, what a difference a day can make. As we once again join these women in clasping Jesus' feet and waking up to the reality, our Lord lives. He is not in the grave. Why look for the living among the dead? He has risen, and he rules heaven and earth on behalf of his people. Oh, Lord, come. Come and make us your victorious believers too. What a difference a day can make as we're overwhelmed with doubt and fear. He's the one who stills those troubled waters, just as he stilled the waters of Sea of Galilee with a word of peace. And oh, how he gives us that peace. Peace be with you. And oh, that we might take that peace home with us, dear Lord, that we might live in families of peace, born of your Easter victory, that we may forgive as freely as you have forgiven us, that we might live and sacrifice for those in our home, just as you lived and sacrificed for us. Oh, what a difference a day can make when we're touched by the presence of the Lord. For then, our heart leaps for joy to be in his worship, to be worshiping him as though we had a hold of his feet, to be learning his word, to be living his mission and ministry. What a difference a day can make, dear Lord. And we pray that we are so captive to your loving word, he is risen, that inside of us grows such a yearning to hear your word that we couldn't fathom missing your worship services, Lord. Neither the pleasures of the lake, nor the pleasures of the golf course, nor any summer sun rob us of that joy of being in your house of praise and prayer. Oh, Lord, that your glorious gospel proclamation, you're risen, and so now death holds no sting. We are yours for time and eternity. May that drive us from within to hear all your holy word, to study it from cover to cover, for this is your holy book. As you pour forth your light, your love, your salvation, that we might be Bible students every day that we draw breath. Notice how he told the disciples, tell my brothers. Notice that word, brothers. What an honor that he should call us brothers and sisters. Go and see me in Galilee. Do you think the disciples and the lady said, nah, that's kind of far to walk. I have an appointment that day. I'm kind of busy. Of course not. And oh, he doesn't tell us to go to Galilee. He tells us, I am close and near with my forgiveness and strength. I'm as close as the Word of God, his holy sacraments. I am there with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Come, drink deeply of my life-giving water. Be filled to overflowing. But the problem again, and always is, we still have a sinful nature, don't we? And we take that sinful nature home with us. And I suspect before we have our Easter ham eaten this afternoon, that sinful nature will be rising up within us to pull us down into apathy all over again. Back into the same old ruts. Ho-hum. Because that's Satan's game plan before we reach eternity. To rob us of this Easter victory. And so we pray, dear Lord, on this Easter day, oh, what a difference a day can make when that difference is spent in listening to your word, taking it to heart, Isn't that why we have our Lutheran elementary school? That our children might be blessed every day to sit at the feet of not their teachers, but of Jesus, and hear his life-giving word over and over again. Then we'll have the joy of his worship services that no one could keep us from. We'll have the joy of reading his holy word and taking it to the depths. We'll have such joy, it won't matter what budgets say or what other people say. We will give of our gifts so abundantly that we won't have budget problems. All because no one can bottle up the love. As we love our family and provide richly for them, so we provide for God's mission, that more and more people might join us in this Easter victory. This is the time that he has planned for us. This is why he has planted us here in this place, that we might praise him for his Easter victory and carry that good news, like the angel, out into a world of darkness. He hasn't sent angels out to do that work, but you and me, to proclaim from generation to generation, he is risen, just as he said. Come and hear everything else that has come from the precious mouth of our Savior. Oh, and then we will have life and have it to the full. What a difference a day can make when we spend that day listening to our Savior. Lord, may your word dwell richly and powerfully in our hearts and souls and life, for in you there is life everlasting. We have no fear of sin, death, hell, or Satan, for you are our Savior, and in you we rejoice. Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, how great this day is, that we have been honored to rejoice at your salvation, to hear your word, to take it to heart. Bless us and dwell in us, dear Lord, that we might dwell for you now and forever in your gospel glory, we pray. Amen.